When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Comes to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I'm Alan Hahn, in for Max. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Key, you've flown coach before, right? Ever?
Will you,
once?
Will you guys stop?
I'm just making sure.
Of course, do you remember? Sit in the exit row.
Wait, well, you would definitely need the exit row.
Hold on, commercial.
Hold on, Key. The text you sent me—that's an all-inclusive.
Oh,
that's, that looks like a dope. I need to go to that all-inclusive.
Yeah, that's why I asked you.
Yeah, that's a
but
different all-inclusive. Yeah,
but that was a behind-the-scenes conversation.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm learning slowly.
We are live on the air.
I can't tell you it.
Nothing.
Because
you're
nothing. Hey, Evan, nothing.
I mean,
this dude will, he will air out whatever you tell him.
That is not true.
He has no filter whatsoever.
That is not true. I didn't say where it was or when you were going.
If I wanted others to see that, I would have given it to them on a group text. I gave it to you.
That's fair.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And Key already did tell us that he was planning for spring of 2023.
Jay. What is this, for the summer of 2024? I mean, what the hell? when is this planned?
But I've never been to one, Jay, so that's why I asked you, because I wanted to know. You know,
I figured
you probably have been. You know, you travel a lot, so see, I just wanted to know.
See, hon, this is what Key be doing too. That's not about planning though. Key be getting in those early bird discount rates.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean. But all of me have planned. See,
no,
that's Key about his money. Evan, don't get it twisted.
Evan and I, we think the same. You know, Max, Evan, and I,
we
kind of think the same, right, Evan?
We know a lot of the same people.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, jeez.
NBA free agency.
Alan Hyde doesn't know how to touch
he
that.
He does not know.
He's going to let that one go.
He's just treading cautiously.
That's probably a good idea, Alan.
Just keeping us right on
Key,
pace here.
I did, you know, I know Key, I'm going to L.A., I'm going to California for 2 weeks. I'm going to see Key in person. And
why are you telling everybody Key's business?
He's taking me to dinner, and I just want to confirm now that you are paying, correct? Because I did look at the menu, and I did want to confirm that you will be, because
where is he taking you?
Because you, me, Max, we think alike. So I just want to make sure that you're paying for dinner.
Absolutely, I'm arranging for it to be paid for. There's no question about it.
I'm arranging for it to be paid for.
All you have to do is order what you need. Don't worry about, you know, don't worry about how the bill gets taken care of. Even if I had to go back late at night and wash the dishes, you will not have to pay.
No, Key, that's an easy tag. That's a post, man. That's a post. Hey, Evan and I, Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, eating at blah, blah, blah.
I don't think Boom. This particular place that we'll be dining at really gives two blanks about a post.
Yeah,
trust me.
That's fair.
When you see the people that are eating at this place, you can be like, nah, they probably own Twitter.
You guys want to get back on track here at all?
Alan,
I just can't
we have fun on this show. Yeah. I know you haven't been on with us in quite some time, but we kind of let it breathe because we got a lot of minutes to get back to it. So we try to have at the top of the hour just a couple little minutes of fun. That's
speaking
all.
Of letting it breathe, fun. I just want James to follow through on the Speedo at Key's party. That's just let it breathe.
Not
James.
Happening.
No,
let
definitely. It breathe.
Well, they have the invitation, and if they can make it, then great. And if they can't, then
Speedo
so
time.
Be it.
Let's go, James.
Go swim in the backyard.
I need to figure out. Why would Sam Acho, though, when we were talking to him yesterday, point to me as the guy that he said probably would wear a Speedo? Like, I don't know. What is it about
you? Kind of got that look.
A Speedo look?
You kind of got the European. Yeah, you got the European kind of like look. You got the
tall,
you know,
German
muscles,
yeah.
Tall. He said tall German. Yeah. Jay, you just say some stuff.
You see, he's kind of got the arms out to the side, like the
David Hasselhoff thing.
Yeah, I was just about to say you got the David Hasselhoff kind of. You know, chest nice, and, you know, you could just stand tall.
This guy's well groomed for his beach run. What is
the commercial? No, what's that Manscaped? The Old Spice commercial. You know, you kind of got the.
How's this dude got that kind of mist on him running like that? What the hell?
Or like, wait, Jay, what was the commercial with the old dude jumping off the platform with the Speedo on a couple years ago?
I mean, I would try anything once, but as long as everybody, like if it was like everybody did it, then, you know, I'd be all in.
I don't know if I would
just comfortably do that on my own.
Like I said, when I'm 75 and I'm on my 175 foot yacht,
hanging
out with my owner friends in the National Football League over in the south of France with Jay flying over in his G780 at that point, then we'll... Yeah, I'll have a Speedo on at that time.
And
if I ever get to that level, if I'm Jay-Z right now, I got a Speedo on everywhere I go.
The name of the butler would
everywhere.
Be Jordan, right? And I'll be at the front of the boat here in Jordan.
If I'm LeBron James, I'm right now, I got two Speedos on. Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have all my friends will be right there with me. That's just the reality of when you Uber rich like them dudes, it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. I don't give a damn.
How are you going to bring out caviar and butter? What the hell? How do you eat this?
Yeah, caviar. I want caviar and butter. Escargot. Give me the extra snails from the hood.
Extra snails. What kind of snails y'all got around here?
Champagne, I ain't never heard of. Give me that mullet there.
I'll take that mullet.
I want all of it.
Man. Right,
that is
back.
Correct.
We're back.
That's
we're
how
back.
You live, though.
We'll be back. We just before when we were talking about players who were in purgatory, the one name that came up that was a kind of interesting one is Luka Doncic, because it's still very early in his career. He just took a team to the Western Conference Finals. But, guys, you know, the rumors are that Jalen Brunson will be leaving Dallas. And he was real, you know, if you look at their run, he was one of the more important players on their team, not named Luka. And if he leaves, where do they go from here? What does he have around him? And, you know, Trae Young gets Dejounte Murray in a trade, and now those two have a formidable backcourt. That's a really good high-scoring backcourt, and also Murray can play defense. What does Luka have? What is the best fit for him? They moved on from Kristaps Porzingis. There's no other all-star-level player on that roster. Jay Key, what fits with Luka, and what do the Mavs need to do to make sure that he doesn't eventually look around him thinking, this might not be the spot for me.
So is there a Chris Middleton-like player out there that can play off the ball? Like, Giannis is very dominant with the ball in transition. Not as much as Luka, but a playmaker. So is there that type of player out there? I mean, I think Tim Hardaway Jr. potentially can be that player if he can be healthy. He's on their roster, didn't play. I'm also going to throw this name out there. And once again, I'm thinking about people that can grow within the organization unless you can land another star. But, like, I like a guy like Buddy Hield. Now, you hear the Lakers are in talks with him. Once again, guys that catch and shoot, high percentage, that can play off the ball, and can feel comfortable playing off the ball, that can deliver off the attraction that comes along with Luka Doncic, and also a guy that can maybe be somewhat of a defender here and there for possessions. A name like that is intriguing to me. It's not a name that jumps off the page that you're going to be like, that's it. Yeah. But neither was Jalen Brunson, Alan.
No,
yeah, when you start to look, one of the problems is there aren't any star players that are readily available to pair with Luka. But when you have guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. already on your roster, you sort of kind of need to see what that is and develop that. If you think about Chris Middleton, when he came over to Milwaukee, he was just a guy who was basically getting a tryout.
Yeah.
But eventually, so he was there. Even though he wasn't drafted by them, he never played. So he got an opportunity when he was traded there to grow into who he is now, which is an all-star player. I think you can get that out of Hardaway Jr. if you're willing to be patient and see where it's at, because there's really nobody out there, Jay.
Key, I want to say this real quick too, Han. Like, there was one dude, if this team didn't get to the finals this past year, and people were realistically talking about breaking up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, it would have been Jaylen Brown, man.
Ooh.
Like, Jaylen Brown on the Dallas Mavericks. I know there are people around Dallas waiting to see if that situation was going to be a fallout between those two, because the way he defends, the way he can catch and shoot, the way he can do things off the dribble, I feel like him and Luka would have been an interesting pairing as a backcourt.
Yeah, and it's very similar to him playing with Tatum, to be honest with you, because Tatum dominates the basketball so much, and that would be. Yeah, it's got to be where you find someone. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is kind of older at this point. I don't know if that's somebody you develop. He's developed. I mean, he's where he is right now. But, you know, Luka's still young, but the West is getting better again. And if you're Dallas, you don't want to make this run to a conference finals the only time Luka's had a run. He's going to be the lead candidate for MVP for next season. Caesars Sportsbook already has him as the highest odds to win MVP. That goes away quickly, though, if you're suddenly not the same team you were
and you're missing some pieces. Didn't he come into this season that way, though? He came into this season, I thought it was the favorite.
He was number
one. Right, Jay?
I think he was up there.
He was the favorite coming into the season.
He was either one or two, Key.
Yeah.
Right around there.
They had a hell of a run. He was in the middle of it, of course. But you start to reach that point of, is there enough around him to win a championship? Is there enough around him to maximize what he is, which is one of the top players certainly in the league and a superstar? And the conversation we'll get into a little bit later on, too, about something Shaq said regarding how many there are in this league. Is Luka one of them? But also, a question to ask, will the big two in Philly finally work for Joel Embiid? We'll get some answers on that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
James Harden is willing to take a pay cut. He could open the space to sign P.J. Tucker.
I know in his conversations with the team, that was really important. How can we get this team better? How can we improve our supporting cast?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Allen Hunt in for Max. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. NBA free agency starts 6 p.m. Eastern today. And one name now suddenly on the list of free agents is James Harden after he declines his $47 million option. To discuss this and more, we bring in Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA insider. Wendy, how we doing?
Wendy.
So Wendy gets a chance.
How important is Harden declining this option for the Sixers? You talked about it a bit yesterday. Go a little bit deeper with us now.
Yeah, I mean, just keep in mind that a year ago he turned down a $200 million extension.
Mm-hmm.
When he got traded, they wanted him to opt into this contract. The Sixers wanted as part of this trade for him to opt into that contract. And different people may testify to different events, but he said he would, and then he didn't, because he wanted to maximize even more money than potentially $47 million. And despite all that, he is now taking a major course shift. Now, you could argue that he's taking that course shift because his value is no longer $200 million in the market, and his value is not even any longer $47 million. But James has not reacted in a team-first manner before. And this is, as much as you can be team-first on a contract that averages over $30 million a year, which is what this is eventually going to be. I don't want to make it sound like he's being magnanimous, but this is a major shift from the way he's operated with his last two teams. So doing this will enable the Sixers to add at least two, if not three, role players around him, which will replenish the roster, which was depleted when they traded for him. And so from the Sixers' point of view, This is a victory from Daryl Morey's point of view. This is a victory. And if he shows up in better condition in the fall and is a closer to player that he was when he first went to Brooklyn than when he came to Philly last year, which I think is possible, it's a great, potentially a grand slam for the Sixers.
Wendy, can I tell you what else? And I know that James Harden has never been one that, you know, speaks out a lot. But for all the stuff that's happening around the industry with, you know, KD and Charles Barkley, with everything happening around Kyrie, and you saw that with Stephen A. Smith, like the one thing I like, which I'm paying attention to and I'm liking more and more from James Harden on top of everything you just mentioned, like just seeing him go to work, right? Like there's something about, and I know a video came out, but I've also heard this, like just him starting the process of working, right? It's starting to me, even though the narrative has been about how much he's disrupted how he got himself out of Houston, we can agree that he didn't handle that the right way. The situation in Brooklyn makes me think about it differently now, understanding more of the pieces around that and Kyrie and the power there. But like, see, that feels like everything is trending in the right direction for James Harden and Philly.
His choices over the last 2.5 years border from absurd to controversial.
Yes.
So when you have that as the baseline, the fact that he appears to be focusing on conditioning and attempting to be sort of not only magnanimous but realistic about his situation does appear to be a step in the right direction. And we sometimes see players do this. You know, last year Chris Paul did something like this with the Suns. He took a pay cut to help the Suns have some more flexibility. We could argue whether they actually used that flexibility, especially if they're about to let DeAndre Ayton leave. But he took a pay cut. The difference is that James Harden is 33 and Chris Paul was 36, 37. Harden is doing this a little earlier than I'm sure he ever planned to. But this is what we haven't seen from other players in this situation. When Carmelo Anthony got to a point in his career where he needed to adjust the way he played and viewed himself, he was very reluctant to do it, and it cost him. Russell Westbrook right now has to this point shown an inflexibility on where his reality is, and it's potentially going to cost him. Allen Iverson, same situation. James Harden, that was sort of on the horizon, I feel. And this decision that he had, and again, I don't want to go overboard about him, you know, he's not getting the money because he's not getting the money. But this process that he's going through here indicates more of an acceptance of reality and him saying, look, I still have good years left in my career. I still can get a championship, but I've got to be sort of an active participant in that. I can't just show up. And I think that's a positive. And if you're a Sixer fan, you have to at least like what you're seeing right now.
Wendy, what does this do for Joel Embiid, a guy who essentially has been let down time and time again by the organization, whether it was the Jimmy Butler situation or whether it was Ben Simmons kind of, you know, going on his way to the point where Philadelphia fans decided it was probably best for him to go in another direction? Where does this lead Joel Embiid at, though?
Well, he has been nothing but loyal to that organization, all the way back to when he was signing his first big contract, which, you know, wasn't a full guarantee. He said, I believe in what we're doing. You believe in me. We're going to get through this together. And he just hasn't been able to do it. And one of the frustrations that he had at the end of last season was the team just didn't have enough. They didn't have enough depth, especially with the way Harden was playing. Harden wasn't playing well enough to justify the depth that they gave up. So here we have Harden helping. Not only because if P.J. Tucker does sign today or tomorrow with the Sixers, that's a big James Harden recruit. James Harden has been recruiting P.J. Tucker. This is what Joel Embiid has been looking for. He's been looking for a partner to help him. Would it have ideally been a more in his prime James Harden who was more MVP level? Yeah, but Embiid has been looking for a partner. And so this steps, which is, you know, Harden doing things to help improve the team, taking advantage of Joel's prime, which is we're now in. I think he'd like to see Harden be a higher performer on the court. That's what's most important. But I have to believe that after watching Harden for the first couple of months, Embiid might have been a little worried, and this may be bringing him a little bit back towards this could work.
Brian Windhorst joining us here on the show as NBA free agency begins 6 p.m. Eastern. So there was a trade made yesterday. We'll get to that one in a minute, where now Dejounte Murray joins Trae Young. Trae Young gets sort of his sidekick. Luka Doncic could be losing one of his sidekicks in Jalen Brunson in free agency. We were talking about this early in the show, Wendy. What what's his Dallas do to put the right talent around Luka? What does a Robin look like for Luka Doncic? Is there concern in Dallas about this? They traded Kristaps Porzingis because that wasn't working on the court. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, this is an organizational failure for Dallas, because I don't really have a problem with them looking at Jalen Brunson and saying we don't want to pay him $100 million. That's not – I mean, I kind of get that. But they could have extended him twice, including last January, for half the price. They could have traded him. And instead, they are now left with a team that is, you know, down their second-best player. And the real problem that the Mavericks have is this. They are paying Luka Doncic $25 million more this year than last year. He earned that, okay? They're going to pay Dorian Finney-Smith, I think, about three or four times his salary. He earned that. Jalen Brunson is getting about 10 times more his salary from last year. He earned that. The Mavericks were not able to take advantage of those guys making low salaries. They went through that window where those guys were all not highly paid, and their big swing was Kristaps Porzingis, and it failed. And so now they have to live in a world where their team is now way more expensive and, frankly, worse.
When pie in the sky, like, who would be the counterpart next to Luka? Like, I kind of mentioned this earlier. I was like, you know, and it didn't work out this way because they didn't end up being broken up because they got to the NBA Finals. But like a Jaylen Brown, like a defender, guy that can kind of play off the ball. Yeah. I'm curious, like, is there a player out there that you say, hey, that guy, it may not work out contractually, but that guy looks like a good fit next to a Luka?
Well, I think you could almost any player in the league. I mean, I do think at some point we will get to a spot where somebody will say, I want to be with Luka, or Luka will say, I want to be with that person.
And he's going to need to, right?
And then we'll have the tension point. Yeah. Is that going to be Dallas getting that person, or is that going to be Luka trying to go somewhere else? I think Luka will. I mean, I'm watching his highlights. He's playing all summer for the Slovenian national team. They're playing in World Cup qualifiers right now, and then he's going to play in the Eurobasket, which is the European Championships, which the Slovenians are the defending champs. So he's going to play all summer. I expect Luka to come in the fall in great shape. I think he's going to be my favorite for MVP. And if he's MVP on a team that's in fifth, sixth place, we could see some tension beginning to build there.
Yeah, that's what you usually do see. And remember, the last time he played for the Olympics, he showed up actually not in shape because he took time off. So maybe he learns from that. Wendy, I mentioned the Murray trade to Atlanta. What did you make of that? And how does that fit now, those two together? What does it mean for the Hawks?
Well, let me say two things. First off, Victor Wembanyama. This is a name you're going to start hearing over the next year.
He is a French seven-footer.
As exciting of a prospect as we've seen, probably the most exciting prospect from Europe since Luka, and one of the most exciting prospects from Europe of the last 20 years. The Spurs are indicating that they are going to tank with the hope of either getting him or Scoot Henderson, who's playing for the G League Ignite, the top two picks next year. DeJounte Murray had 2 years left on his contract for about $16 million each, which is tremendous value. He informed the Spurs he was not going to extend that contract either this summer or next summer. So the Spurs were like, we think we maybe should tank anyway, because even with him, we're a 12th place team. Mm-hmm. We can't extend him, so let's maximize. And they got a haul. They got unprotected picks in 25 and 27 and a pick swap in 26. So they are going to control the Hawks draft for 3 years. And chances are one of those 3 years, the Hawks aren't going to be great. The Hawks get a running mate for Trae Young, who is a perfect complement to him. Tremendous size, excellent defense, can play on the ball and off, will alleviate pressure on him on the defensive end of the court.
Led the league in steals.
Absolutely a slam dunk for a team like Atlanta. You know, the price was kind of high in terms of the draft compensation. Gallinari, they were going to release anyway. So there was a bunch of teams bidding for DeJounte Murray, because you just can't get players like this who are 25 years old. But the willingness to give up those unprotected picks is what got it done. And I don't think Atlanta is done. I could see them doing one or two more deals in the next week or two that could potentially even more build up that team.
Definitely trying to build around Trae Young. I know you got to run. It's great to talk to you. Thanks so much for the insight.
Take care, guys.
Good luck on your next 9,000 shows today, Wendy.
Yes, very busy day, of course, for him. Coming up in the show, though, we get to football. A recent MVP who's not even a top 10 quarterback. We'll discuss that after SportsCenter. All right, so as we were just talking about, James Harden declined his option with the Sixers. He will enter free agency. Sources told our own Adrian Wojnarowski on Wednesday that Harden declined a $47 million option. He'll become a free agent, but it keeps the possibility of negotiating a new deal with the Philadelphia 76ers that would also deliver roster-building flexibility, including the use of a full $10.5 million mid-level exception. The Hawks acquire guard Dejounte Murray from the Spurs. That was a big trade that went down on Wednesday. The Hawks get Murray in exchange for 3 first-round picks and Danilo Gallinari. The Hawks are coming off a first-round playoff exit. They have Murray with Trae Young, give themselves a young all-star backcourt in Atlanta. And in baseball, the reigning National League MVP Bryce Harper underwent successful surgery to repair his fractured thumb, but there's no timetable for his return. The Phillies remain hopeful that Harper can return this season. SportsCenter presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com.
Everyone's focused on Jalen Hurts.
They decided to go down the Jalen Hurts is our guy road.
He has a lot of fire there. He has great leadership abilities.
This is a great situation for Jalen to take the reins, to grow, to develop, and get this team back to the playoffs.
Now we get back into the conversation. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
You don't even know me.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Max. Get some football talk here going. We do that with Jeremy Fowler, our ESPN NFL reporter, who joins us right now. Good morning, Jeremy. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Great to be with you.
Got to get your reaction to Miles Sanders talking about how adding A.J. Brown, the Eagles, he said, feel like an all-star team. Are they?
Well, I love the confidence, but the last time the Eagles were pumping up a dream team of sorts, you remember those Vince Young days when he said that back in the day with the Eagles and Andy Reid, didn't go so well when they loaded up on free agents and high-profile players. This is a little different because this is a team that believes that it was probably a top receiver away from really making a jump for Jalen Hurts in year three, and so they went and got A.J. Brown, who's considerably a top 10 receiver in the league, depending on who you talk to. And so, this is a team that is building for now and the future. They're going to have flexibility for 2023. If they need to go get another quarterback in a deep draft class, they have multiple first-round picks. But for now, they're just trying to build a winner so that maybe even if they need to get a free agent quarterback or somebody else in a trade, that they would want to come to Philly, that would be a desirable spot because of the roster they're building while hoping Hurts gets it done and becomes a long-term answer.
Yeah, not you, Jeremy, so to speak, but it drives me crazy when people start talking about they may need to go get a quarterback next year. I'm like, the dude's developing at a rapid rate. He's gotten better. Let it continue to move in that direction. But I don't believe that this is an all-star team at all. I mean, they got a couple guys that made a Pro Bowl here or there, but all-star teams have five Pro Bowlers on each side. And I'm talking about guys that were voted in the Pro Bowl, not the 12th alternate. So I like the conversation. They certainly closed the gap on the Cowboys in the division, but they still got a long ways to go.
Key, I was going to say, I'm going to need Miles Sanders to score a touchdown before he can start throwing himself in the all-star conversation. Didn't score one last season. But, that's we'll discuss that another time, Jeremy. That's fair. I do want to ask you, though, are they the best team in the NFC East?
I'm still going with Dallas. You can make the argument. I think if you asked, say, 10 people around the league, at least 3 or 4 of them would say Philly, because the roster has gotten better, and Washington and New York still appear to be in transition. Dallas has lost a few pieces, but I still think the Cowboys, with CeeDee Lamb having the chance to step up as the top guy with Amari Cooper gone, I think he'll be sort of in that upper echelon by the end of the year. They have enough pieces around him. Dak's still the best quarterback in that division. I think that weighs enough to try to get it done there with Dallas.
Jeremy, we have our list that we like to do on this show, and Key did his real rankings.
Yeah.
And we did a list of the scariest quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Let's just say it got a lot of reaction. Yeah. Curious to see what you think of this list, 1 through 5, but I'll start with 5. So he has Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and at number 1, Lamar Jackson. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, you know, certainly Lamar is the talking point. I could see it, especially if you're a defensive player. He scares you more than anybody else. I see him as the scariest football player. I don't necessarily see him as the scariest quarterback. You know, when I do a summer project ranking players at each position, you know, there are still, for better or worse, a lot of people around the league that believe Lamar's not that upper echelon top tier quarterback, even though he's got the MVP. He wins a lot more games than he loses. As a quarterback in the pocket, not trusted as maybe some others. But as far as like the overall total package, I could see him being the scariest, especially for a defense. And, well, you know, where's Tom Brady? I mean, I think he's still, maybe he doesn't scare teams as much because he's not, you know, deadly and going to break off an 80-yard play at any time. But we're talking about, you know, figuring out what a defense is doing pre-snap, probably still one of the scariest.
Yeah, I think so. Let me give it to you this way so that you really have a true understanding. The scariest quarterback ranking is based on keeping defensive coordinators up at night trying to figure out how to defend these particular quarterbacks. When you talk about Lamar Jackson, there's going to be people that say he's not a quarterback. I got him in a separate category just like Kyler Murray because they can do so many different things that will scare the living you-know-what out of defensive players. Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady clearly is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. He is very difficult to defend based on some of the stuff from a pre-snap read standpoint. But having spoke to defensive coordinators around the league, they don't stay up at night thinking about Tom Brady. They stay up at night thinking about Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers. Look, how do we stop these dudes from, if we got them in the pocket in the mush rush, they break the contain, they're off to the races. That's not Tom Brady, so to speak. That's not Justin Herbert in their mind. Right. That's not Joe Burrow in their mind. And I know a lot of people look at the list and go, how could you not, Joe Burrow? Oh, my God. Ah. I'm never going to be a prisoner of the moment when I'm breaking down film. That's just me, though.
But, Jeremy, it's interesting that you that you said, though, that you're – I'm sorry. What I wanted to follow up on, though, was something that you just said a minute ago that I don't want to let that just kind of disappear in the conversation, is you said that you've heard from around the league there's people that still don't see Lamar Jackson as a top 10 quarterback in this league.
Yeah, there are some that feel that way because you got to consider how loaded it is. You know, you still, like you mentioned, you got Herbert, Burrow in the conversation. Matthew Stafford's reasserted himself in L.A. Deshaun, well, we don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, whether he's going to play this year or not, but assuming he does, he's a top 10 quarterback. It just, that's the conversation. And so it is crowded. So you're kind of battling with like the Dak Prescotts of the world for like 7 through 11. In sort of the pantheon, I think because of some of the struggles last year with against the blitz, and then you take into account the injury factor, the offense that Lamar's in. Those are just questions that people bring up and have concerns about. But as far as being one of the best players and arguably one of the best quarterbacks, it's hard to argue what he's done. You know, it's an interesting list. I like Kyler at five because you know he's a guy that. On some levels, when I talk to people around the league about Kyler, they're like, okay, he looks like he's still playing at Oklahoma sometimes. Like, has he really evolved as a passer over 3 years? But then sometimes that all doesn't matter because he's a brilliant playmaker. Like, he's a guy who is scary because of the way he can run and the way he can throw.
All right, Jeremy, let's do a little rapid fire here. Give us the latest on these players. Let's start off with Jimmy G.
All right, Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm told that he is still on schedule to recover from his shoulder surgery. Should be begin throwing here in the next week or so. Early July was sort of a loose target for him to do so. That should heat up his trade market a little bit once that happens. And so you still have teams like Carolina, Seattle that are monitoring the quarterback landscape as a whole. So that includes Baker Mayfield, Garoppolo. So Jimmy G hopes to be able to start somewhere and have a home. It appears Trey Lance is going to be the guy in San Francisco, but you know they have to make the money work with Garoppolo, who's due $24 million. It's uncertain whether a team really wants to take that on yet.
How about Deebo Samuel, the latest with him?
Well, it's status quo as far as hard developments, but I did speak to somebody this week who's optimistic that something could get done eventually, whether it's around training camp or after training camp has started. But you know, the 49ers have prioritized certain players that are considered key. You know, George Kittle in the past, they paid him. You know, they paid Fred Warner, star linebacker. And so Deebo is next in line along with Nick Bosa. They got to figure him out, too, as a pass rusher. One of the top in the league could be up for a deal as well. So they got to you know, try to prioritize those two. But there's some optimism that, that Samuel could get something done. They know that it's a tough ask for him to play on the current money last year of his rookie deal, considering all that he's done and become really a superstar in the league.
What's going on with OBJ at this moment outside of rehabbing, Jeremy?
Yeah, Key's still rehabbing. Yeah, I know the Rams are optimistic that he can re-sign there. They're hopeful. You know, they're staying in contact. And yeah, they're probably the leader in the clubhouse right now, but Odell's in a position where he can wait. You know, he's not really going to play till, I don't know, October or November. And so he could even wait until during the season, see how this paces out, see which contenders need receiver help. Like, there's really no rush here. And so, you know, you have teams like Green Bay even that could step up. They were interested in Odell back in November during his free agency when he separated from the Browns. So that could be a factor as well.
Last but not least, do we have Baker Mayfield? We keep talking about him.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, Carolina's been involved in talks at multiple points, really, even a couple weeks ago around minicamp, but it still remains that the Browns are willing to cover part of Baker Mayfield's $18.8 million in guarantees, but other teams want them to cover a significant portion of that $18.8 million to facilitate a trade. So as far as leverage, the Browns just aren't willing to go there just yet. So they could change their mind or they could heat up closer to training camp. Right now it is status quo. Mayfield continues to wait. He said a reconciliation is unlikely. I continue to hear it's highly unlikely, too, behind the scenes. But the longer this drags out, you never know. Maybe the Browns will just say, hey, we'll keep him. It doesn't seem feasible. But, you know, like it's at some point, if the trade market truly doesn't develop, then they might have no choice but to either release him or keep him on the roster.
If you're rooting for a story, that's the one you're rooting for, Jeremy. It's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much, man.
All right, Jeremy.
All right, bet.
No doubt. Thanks, right. Guys.
You got it, Jeremy Fowler. And meanwhile, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Alan Hunt in for Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Back to the NBA we go. Apparently, there's only four superstars in the league. Can you name them? Wait to hear what Shaq said about it next. You'll hear it on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM, Channel 80.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I said yesterday this was a legacy moment for Ja Morant. Oof. Coming up. And I'm telling you guys, last night it was block office.
Oh, he was ridiculously block office.
He was block office.
You know what, right, about that.
Block office,
Jay.
He just combined block buster and box office.
Yes.
Jordan Poole on skates. Oh, Lord.
Jay, I have no idea what block office is. That must be Duke English or something. But
blockbuster. What? I said block office.
Yeah, you said you took box office and blockbuster.
You didn't even realize you said block office. I said it again, and you talk about, yeah, he was dealing and willing.
I'm coming in hot.
Damn, block office is that thing now.
Just making words up. Yeah, that's all. That's all right.
It's that thing.
That'll be new in the dictionary one day. It's a combination. It's another level to box office.
But you know what it is.
Blockbuster box office.
You know what it is, Hondo. Like when that Memphis game went off and it's 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, you'd be like, yo, I got to get up in about – 2.5 hours.
And you were still hyped from the performance, right? Like I completely get it. But, you know, You're not the only one now. You did Block Office, but remember, there was somebody on the show, I believe, yesterday who called a certain defensive coordinator, Martin Winkdale.
Same thing.
You know, so this is what we do. We just, you know, move it around. It's a shell game. We let you figure it out. You, the listener, what do you think we're talking
Martin
about?
Martin Winkdale, Winkdale Martin,
it's all
Don
the same
Winkdale.
Guy.
Winkdale,
it's all the same guy.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm not here to get it 100% right. If I got it 100% right, it wouldn't be fun radio and television.
No.
Works 65% of the time all the time, Key.
I could get buttoned up and just be perfectly fine if you want me to, but I just got to be me. Yeah. You know, that's what makes us great.
Listen, fallibility
is
sexy.
The show of the people.
It's that's what it is. Fallibility is sexy. Exactly. People love that. Like, you know, if you're too perfect, man, it's like, nah, that's no fun. But we also if we keep you guessing, too. If we made it easy for you to figure out what we're talking about, it'd be boring. It's like it's a quiz. You figure out what we're talking about. But here, we got to figure out what Shaq's talking about. Because I'm curious of how you guys think about the fact that Shaq said on a podcast recently, he named four superstars. He said, there aren't many superstars in the league. He said, Steph Curry's a superstar. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a superstar. And he goes, who else? I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, Bron. Let's not forget him. And I guess, yeah, KD. And that's it. Are we missing anyone on this list? And what do you guys consider a superstar?
I mean, is Joel Embiid not a superstar? Is Damian Lillard not a superstar? Is Luka Doncic not a superstar? Is Jason Tatum? I mean, there are levels to superstardom. I get that, you know, for him, his qualifications were got to be a – you know, finals MVP and MVP and win a world championship.
Right.
But come on, man. Come on, man. Like, Zion Williamson, as much as you may not think he's reached these degrees, like, he's a superstar in the league, man. Like, he has millions of people that follow him on all social platforms. This, to me, it kind of sounds like a little bit, I know there are levels to a key. It sounds a little bit of that older generation's, like, well, here's how I see it, so this is what it is. Like, for you not even to mention LBJ – in that sentence, I'm like, all right.
No, he did. No,
he finally did. Yeah,
he had to get asked. He got asked.
Well,
he got asked.
Yeah, but he was thinking about the four superstars.
Yeah,
I doubt it very seriously. He excluded LeBron James on purpose. I doubt that very seriously.
Okay.
But how do we measure a superstar?
I don't have a problem with the four guys, and you know how I feel. I've always said this. I said this months and months and months ago through conversations. Great is thrown around way too often. Great, oh, he's a great player.
Agree.
Superstar is thrown around way too often. Oh, he's a superstar. And when you look at the guys that's on this list of Shaqs, they got MVPs, they got championships, they got championship MVPs. There's nothing taken away from Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard is a star in the NBA. No question about it. Kawhi Leonard is a star in the NBA. When you're a superstar, there's just so much more that goes with superstardom. All the snack, crackle, pop on the floor, off the floor. You have to factor all that into the equation. You can't just say he's a superstar because he's giving you 24, 12, and 9. He's a superstar. It's like, well, what has he done other than getting bounced every year in the first or second round? So I understand what Shaq is saying. I get it. Kobe Bryant was a superstar. Those guys are superstars, and that's what Shaq is saying.
I think, and I mean this sincerely, Jay, I want to use your word block office because that's what I think a superstar is. Blockbuster, box office. If I'm in a city that's neither one of my – I'm not in my town, so it's not my teams, but I'm somewhere, and someone's like, we can go to this amazing restaurant, have a great dinner, spend the night there, and just have a blast – or, you know, there's an NBA game tonight, and these two teams are playing. If I don't have a guy that I'm like, oh, I need to see that dude play live, like then I don't know if you're a superstar. So I don't know if it has to do with winning as much as it has to do with are you box office. And so, I'm, you know, those are the names that you're looking for, right?
So Kawhi Leonard's not a superstar?
I mean, are you running to the arena to see Kawhi play? He's a great player, but are you running to the arena to see him play?
I mean, multiple finals MVP, world champion. I mean, he kind of fits the resume other than like a regular season MVP.
He fits the resume.
We also devalue the regular season MVP. Look what you guys have done to Jokic.
That's right.
That matters now? I'm confused. Which one
that's
is
That's why
it?
I think superstar is, am I running to the arena to see him play?
That's why I said on and off the court. Yeah. Snack, crackle, pop.
So John Morant?
He ain't there yet, Jay.
888 say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's continue this conversation next.
Trip.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.